Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We continue with the text of the Shaykh Sidi Ahmed Zarruq, Usul al-Tariqatina, the foundations or universal principles of our path. So he continues, he says, وَأُصُولُ الْمُعَامَلَاتِ خَمْسَةٌ. He said that as far as dealing with other people on this path, the universal principles, meaning what you need to get from others in traveling this path, the universal principles or foundations are found in five things. طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ لِلْقِيَامِ بِالْأَمْرِ. Seeking knowledge in order to execute the command properly. This is a tragedy. This is a debacle. This is so many calamities put into one that the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's so few people from them that even care about the most minimum of things. And for some reason, people think it's possible to pray without knowing how to pray, and it's possible to practice the deen without knowing what the deen is. And everybody, it's wajib on them not to become a sheikh or molana or do dora hadith or become, you know, get some sort of title or sanad. But it's wajib on them to learn what is the fard'ain, the basic aqidah that a person needs to know. And that differs from time to time and from place to place, because the questions that some people ask or have, other people don't. They have to have the basic knowledge of aqaid. They have to have the basic knowledge of fiqh, which is not just the five pillars, but it may include more things than that. So the person who gets married has to know the fiqh of marriage. The person who works a job has to know the fiqh of those transactions that are relevant to it, their job. People need to know all of these things. And that's just to be a regular person to execute the fiqh properly. As far as the tasawwuf is concerned, that knowledge takes on a different significance as well. As far as aqidah is concerned, that knowledge takes on a different significance as well. So a person needs to know these things and learn these things. And if they are not performing their ibadat properly, they're not a person who understands how they're supposed to pray their fajr, or how they're supposed to pray their asr, or how they're supposed to fast, or doesn't even know who to ask when something comes up and doesn't have access to that person or live close to that person or whatever, then something very seriously has gone wrong. So the first is the talab al-ilm al-qiyami bil-amr, and it's something I don't want to talk about too much because it seems like sometimes it's all I talk about. But it's really important. It's extremely important. And also remember, husnul khidmah, if serving other people is a way of propelling oneself higher in the tariq by you receiving the reward for whatever progress they make, then the service of the proliferation of knowledge is like robbing the bank twice. Something that a person learns something one time, and then afterward it's used so many times again and again by that person. That if you teach a person alif, ba, ta, tha, you teach a person how to read the Fatiha, and those are things you guys don't need to become great ulama or mashaykh to do. You know, if you teach someone to recite the Fatiha, or you teach somebody to recite Qul huwallahu ahad or Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas, that person, how many times will they recite it during their entire life? You'll receive so much reward for it. So if seeking knowledge is such an important thing, then the help and the proliferation of the knowledge is also important, and it's a great vehicle for progress. صحبة المشايخ والإخوان للتبصر. And keeping the company of the mashayikh and of the people who are on this path, so that a person can learn vision. What is vision? Vision is something completely free. You guys are all corporate guys, so you probably have to go to these, like, whatever vision, strategic plan meeting type things. And the visions people come up with are utterly pathetic. Like, as a Muslim, you're like, chuckling inside that this is stupid. If this is what your vision is, you people are all like pathetic, or probably more accurately sick. That this is what your goals are out of your existence and out of your work and whatnot. But the problem is that there are people who hang out with those people so much that they imbibe whatever state that those people have. And a person is supposed to obviously earn a living and all of this other stuff. There's not only nothing wrong with it, it's also part of the deen. But a person has to protect themselves. Just like if you're a blacksmith, just the fact that you work around fire doesn't mean that you should be coming home burned every day. You need to protect yourself from the evil effects of that trade. And one of the ways to do so is to keep the company of the mashayikh and of the ikhwan, because the ikhwan, not meaning the like whatever group that's outlawed in Egypt right now. We're talking about who the people who are your brothers on the tariq, the people who keep the same aspiration and goals that you do. Or the sisters, if it's sisters. Why? Because those people will help you to have a correct vision. When you sit in their majlis, the things that seemed important at work, or the things that seemed important when you were in, you know, whatever, middle school or high school or whatever, hanging out with college goofball buddies or whatever it may be, those things all of a sudden they become laughable, and a new set of things become important. And it helps a person to keep correct vision and to keep correct standards with regards to how they should live their life and what's important, what's not important. The third is that a person should leave seeking dispensations in fiqhi matters, or seek creative interpretations regarding matters of deen in order to protect oneself. In order to protect oneself and protect one's deen. What are dispensations? Dispensations is that every single time, you know, someone says you have to wash your feet, someone says you can wipe over your socks, you wipe over your socks. Somebody says that you can, whatever, you have to pray with her, and someone says you don't, then you just skip with her. And somebody says you have to pay, you know, $7 in zakat al-fitr, another person says you have to pay $5, so you go $5. The idea is that there's no, well, I guess to varying degrees, there may in certain instances not be a correct, a right or a wrong answer. But the idea that a person is seeking out an opinion just because it's easier. Not because one thinks it's correct, but because it's easier. That itself is haram, and it's also like poison for a person's deen in terms of their suluk. And a person who wishes to preserve their deen should sometimes take the harder opinion, not because of anything else except for just to shank the nafs, to like, you know, get a cheap shot in on the nafs on the way out. Because a person who does that, and in fiqh issues it's bad enough, in aqidah issues it's really, really weird. It gets strange sometimes, because there are certain parts of the deen that the people we live around, they don't find palatable. And because of our endearing wish to be friends with everybody all the time and have everybody love us, we oftentimes will find weird understandings of Islam. Somebody came to me and said, oh, Sheikh so-and-so told me that the Nasara, before they die, Sayyidina Isa will come to them and ask them, you know, that I'm not the son of God. You believe that, don't you? And then if they accept it, Allah Ta'ala will forgive them for their shirk. And I'm like, what? did you really hear your Sheikh say this with his own two lips? No, so-and-so told me. I'm like, I'm pretty sure he didn't say that. People have these weird things that there are just certain things about the deen that they feel bad or embarrassed about, and so they want to interpret them in different and weird ways. Or they'll hear something that, like, you know, some speaker, professional speaker and preacher will say that sounds really cool, and it's all like very like, you know, Islam is about making sure that the environment is organic and that, you know, women and children are always floating in the air because air is important in Islam. Like, they'll say weird things like that sound like they should be like really deep and wonderful and whatever, but it's not the kitab of Allah Ta'ala, and it's not the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or they're calling to something and that it's not entirely clear how this is connected with the wahi of the Quran or the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Those things, it's better to take a pass on them. In fact, sometimes those people, even the weird things that they say, they may have a basis completely in the Kitab and Sunnah. Until you understand what that is, you know, you can just kind of like put that in the suspended category. You can have a good opinion of other people, but not take something as an authority of authoritative in the deen until and unless you see how it's connected to the wahi. And there are some things like this, like the Masnavi of Maulana Rumi. It's not completely obvious how certain hikayat are connected to the book of Allah Ta'ala. If you actually study it, you know, and you read its commentaries or you sit with the ulama and read it, you'll be like, wow, this is completely in line with that. If you haven't seen that or if that doesn't seem like the case to you, you can leave it, you can move on. The deen is not the deen of the Masnavi, it's that of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the Masnavi Maulana Rumi is something that's been attested to by generations of ulama, centuries that intervene between now and then. Something you hear at a conference may not be as solid. Maybe, but you know, like I said, if the mashayikh, despite their praise for one thing, say it's okay to let it go, then the thing that's inferior, almost certainly, you don't have to hold on to it. And this is what I mean when I say Islam evangelism. It's not just that I'm jealous of other people because they have a bigger following and a bigger crowd. Honestly, I could give less of a damn. And if I couldn't, then inshallah, may Allah Ta'ala make me such that I could give less of a damn. That's not the thing that upsets me. The thing that upsets me is what? How can you stand up and give a bayan? Or how can you write a post from the beginning to the end? Has nothing to do with the wahi of the Qur'an and the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And you'll see this. There are people who write feel-goody things, and they say feel-goody things and tell feel-goody stories. And it's not immediately intuitive what part of the deen a person is explaining in this. That's what the word bayan means. Bana yabinu means to one thing for one thing to be separate from the other. Bayan means to show what the differences are between, to explain things in detail. And so when a person gets up and says something that maybe a Christian pastor could have used, like, you know, said like, inshallah, take the inshallah, mashallah out of it, and it could have been a sermon in a church, then even if the teaching is not bad, there could be on a human level something very good in that teaching, alhamdulillah, mashallah. But that's not the role of the ulama of deen to just tell stuff that people should already know anyway. Rather, it should be to either teach people what they don't know or to persuade people to come onto the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a more complete and perfect way. So, a person, these types of things, some people have a predilection for them. That's a really bad sign. If a person finds themselves inclining to those things, then know that that those ta'wilat, those strange interpretations that, you know, sound wonderful and sound cool, that's harmful for a person in their progress on the tariq. وَالضَّبْطُ الْأَوْقَاتِ بِالْأُمُورِ لِلْحُضُورِ And being strict in a person's timing, in a person's schedule, daily schedule, in their awrad. Warada yaridu means to come to arrive. So the word is it translates as the litany of prayers that a person says in the day, whether it be nafil prayers or whether it be the recitation of the Quran or different adhkar and things like that. Whatever word the person takes, the person should be very, very strict in its timings. It's called a weird why, because through it comes the help of Allah Ta'ala. It's like your daily job, that your paycheck, your spiritual paycheck comes through. In fact, it's interesting, one of the words for a job is wazifa, and wazifa is also a word for I mean, it means the same thing as weird, which is your daily dhikr and prayers that you do. Lil hudur, because keeping timings properly is something that will make a person constantly aware. If you're able to skip your word by having forgotten it, then time passes by without your understanding and knowing. And this is one of the great benefits of saying the salat five times a day on time, is that it makes you very aware of the passage of time, what part of the day is done, what part of the day is left. And maybe a person of heedlessness, whether they're a Muslim or not, days and weeks and years of their life go by and they don't know where it went, and they don't have anything that they've done for themselves. Whereas once a person starts praying five times a day and wondering when the next prayer time comes in, it engenders a certain type of hal and kayfiyah, which is presence with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person should be aware of those things. And this has to do with other things as well, with a special reference to when a person wakes up and when they go to sleep, what do they do during certain times of the day? It's good to work hard, but your job shouldn't ever be allowed to overwhelm all of your time. And this is a culture that we have in America. Americans, in some ways, work harder than anyone else in the world. We do have plenty of lazy people, but that's part of the human condition. In general, we take less vacation, we work harder than other people do. And the people at work want to make it such that you feel your future is at work. So they'll put in a fridge with like free Coke or something stupid like that, and they'll be like, awesome, like, I'm going to stay at work because there's Coke is free or whatever. Whereas that 50 cents you would have paid for it at the grocery store is a small price to pay for being a human being. The idea is that you should have awqat for your work as well. And it shouldn't spill into other things. It shouldn't spill into your awrad. It shouldn't spill into your family time with your spouse or with your parents or with your brothers and sisters. It shouldn't spill into your time for seeking knowledge. It shouldn't spill into your time for making dhikr. It shouldn't spill into your time for whatever things that are relevant to the affairs of the Muslims that you do, whether it's meeting other people, going to the masjids for events, things like that. You should make dhabt of your awqat. And the thing is that if you give every day, like from 9 to 5, say, I'm actually going to work, you'll get a lot done. Nobody does anything at work. Everybody's sitting there checking their Facebook and their Twitter and chit-chatting and spend the whole time walking to the damn coffee machine and coming back and this and that. There's really no need for that. Just do your work while you're at work. It'll make your paycheck more halal, and then it gives you time for other things. If you're not able to make dhabt of your awqat, you're not going to make anything. You're not going to make. You may get by at work. You're not going to get anything in tasawwuf at all. And this is something that this is something that you'll see. Hazrat Tanwi rahimahullah ta'ala, it said that he used to keep his schedule so fastidiously that you had to schedule shaking hands with him. Go to the secretary, find open time, he'll give you the time, you shake hands with him, have your like whatever 2 minutes of small talk, and that's it. Even his own mashayikh, when it was time, when they would come to visit for him, he had like an hour that he would write in a day. And he wrote so many books. All it was that 1 hour I'm just going to write. And through the barakah of that hour, so many books came out. And so many beneficial books, mashallah. And many of the mashayikh, unfortunately, their books are not their books. They're just somebody, qalamband, like they just wrote down their bayans while they're giving them. And there's so much barakah in that. When you write your own book, though, it's completely a whole nother level, because you have to think about what you're going to write, and you pick your words very, very, very cautiously, and you have control over the way the final product comes out. And so there's so much benefit in his books, because they're written with that higher level of thoughtfulness, amongst other things. That barakah is not going to come until you're able to fix a time for things. If you're able to fix a time for things, there's no reason that all of us shouldn't be hafiz of the Quran, or all of us shouldn't, you know, do great things in our lives. Every single one of us. And the problem is that the potentiality for that is there in every single human being. Not everyone can do everything, but everyone can do something great. And the potentiality is there in every single human being. And we make choices, like small choices every day in our life, to not do that and not be that. And it's really sad for all of us. Allah Ta'ala forgive us for wasting the opportunities we have, and give us tawfiq to take the opportunities that we missed in the future again. But the dhabt of a person's waqt, go to sleep after Isha. The best, it's good for your health. The best sleep that a person receives is between Isha and between midnight. That sleep is restful. There's a certain type of rest you'll get from that sleep that you won't get from any other time. Just like that, the qaylula that a person takes during the day, you don't have to sleep for 3 hours. Even if you take a nap for half an hour, there's something that the body gets out of that that they won't get for the rest of the night. And if you need more sleep, then there are awqat that a person can sleep, right? But, you know, don't sleep after asr, don't between maghrib and asr, don't sleep after fajr until the sun rises, because those times, they're harmful for a person, for a person in their sleep. And people experience that you're very sluggish and groggy. It takes you like much longer to the body to get going again, because when a person, you know, wakes up, the body like gives a jolt of different kind of hormones and things like that to the body to wake it up. And then once it has all that stuff floating around, when you're sleeping, you're not resting because it has all that stuff floating around. And then when your body finally cleans all those things out, then it can't give you the jolt again when you wake up the second time. You're going to be sluggish for some time, both in your body and your mind. The mind needs the sleep, by the way. Your brain needs to sleep in order to put its house in order as well. And Islam is difficult. It's even more difficult when you're stupid. So try to, do all those things that will save your brain function, inshallah. And the fifth point is ittiham an-nafsi fi kulli shay'in lil khuruj 'an al-hawa wa salamati min al-'utub wal-ghalat. That the fifth thing is that a person is their muamala with themselves, that a person should always accuse their own nafs in every matter, so that person may leave, may be safe from hawa. What is hawa? It's your own vain desire. Your nafs is something that, like, yeah, I'm hungry, and so my nafs will do everything it can to eat. Yeah, I have this desire, it will do everything it can to chase the desire. Hawa is something different. Hawa is acting without, behaving with no point, behaving pointlessly. There's so many things that people do every day that are pointless. Hawa is different than nafs because there's no, the nafs, at least you're indulging or ingratiating some sort of desire of yours. The hawa, there's no desire you're ingratiating. You're just doing something for no reason, just like to be stupid. People used to do weird things like just like go kill animals or break things or act stupid, act silly in a way that doesn't garner a person any benefit whatsoever. This is also part of a human being that they have that in them. The mashayikh say that the enemies of the salik are four. They're the nafs and shaitan and the dunya and hawa. And this is what hawa is, and this is how a person protects themselves from it, which is what? To constantly accuse the nafs in every matter. Something wrong happens, something right happens, whatever it is, you accuse yourself that this is my fault for having chosen this. What do you mean if something right happens? When something right happens, there's like another chapter of weird things that can happen. That a person does something good, they might become arrogant because of it, or they may take credit for it even though Allah Ta'ala obviously set it up for them and made it easy for them. They may use the fact that they're right to look at someone else as wrong. And a person should blame the nafs in every single, accuse the nafs and be suspicious of the ittiham. Tuhma is an accusation, or blame. That if a person does something right, say, this is not something that I did myself, this is something Allah Ta'ala gave me, and if He didn't make it so easy for me to do, then I shouldn't think that I would have done it. And the benefit of it is that a person, it brings them out of the state of doing things for hawa, and it gives them salama, it gives them protection from wasting what good that they have and then making further mistakes. So the Shaykh continues, he says, فَطَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ آفَتُهُ صُحْبَةُ الْأَحْدَاثِ سِنًّا أَوْ عَقْلًا أَوْ دِينًا مِمَّا لَا يَرْجِعُ لِأَصْلٍ وَلَا قَاعِدًا. He said that the calamity of seeking knowledge, when you know seeking knowledge has gone wrong, when you seek it from young people, people who are just children, it doesn't necessarily mean, obviously, they say Imam Shafi'i used to teach dars before he was baligh, so he would teach people, like during Ramadan, they would be fasting and he'd be eating and drinking. That's fine, those are exceptions. The person who exhibits some sort of maturity, that's different, although those people are very rare. And chances are whoever it is, whoever kid on YouTube who's like giving bayan into the void and accusing everybody of being weird, whatever, that person is probably not like Imam Shafi'i level of people, but khair. The seeking knowledge, the calamity of it is keeping the company of those who are very young in age or who are very raw in their intellect, that their mind doesn't seem to work well. Or in deen, that they may know what they're talking about, but you see that you've never seen the person pray sunnahs in your lifetime or something like that. Or you see the person, whatever, having a smoke afterward outside. You don't have to say, oh, this person's evil. You don't have to make any judgment about that person. All the point of this is that you don't seek knowledge from people like that. أو مما لا يرجع لأصل, or somebody who talks about stuff but there's no usul, there's no methodology in what they say or talk. It's not illogical. It's just hikayat. They're just giving stories. Anyway, I'm not going to say it because people will get upset because of that. But some people, they like telling stories and they don't know what the point of the story is. And it's okay to tell stories every now and then, but there should be a point and it should be clear what it is. The person who doesn't get back to any point or any methodology or any logic or reasoning or rationality or foundational principle in the talk that they're giving, those people seeking knowledge from them is going to be a calamity, because you will drink their confusion into you until it becomes part of your own state. وآفة الصحبة الاغترار والفضول. And you know that keeping the company of the mashayikh and the brothers in the tariq is gone wrong when a person, they spend their time wasting time. Correct suhbah is what? Correct suhbah is taking dars, learning something, benefiting something, doing some sort of service. Waste of time suhbah is what? Oh, Sheikh, like this, literally, this is a thing with people. This annoys me to no end. The person won't come to dars, they're busy, but they'll invite you to dinner afterward, or they'll take you to chai afterward and coffee afterward. If that was the case, you should just quit the tariqah and like take up time, full-time work as being like a kitchen, like a cook or barista at a store, because that's your entire function in the deen. Allah Ta'ala created the best and most elect of His servants to what? To like learn His ma'rifah and to worship Him properly. Your function is to make chai for those people or to buy lunch for those people, which is great. It's better than, it's still a high maqam. But the first point in the entire book was what? Or sorry, the first point in the prerequisites for the first five was what? Ulul himma. A person should shoot higher than these things. And it's great to like go out and have coffee and lunch and things like that. MashaAllah, I know how to make coffee in my own house. And I know how to make lunch in my own house, and like going from place to place or meeting different people is a drain on me. And it would have been easier for me just to have a regular job and make my own coffee and make my own lunch. The point is what? That a person should come and benefit from the dhikr, and they should come and benefit from the teaching, and they should come and benefit from the learning and all of these other things. If you're just hanging out and doing all the stuff that a normal human being would do with your mashayikh or with your suhbah, and you don't do those things that are actually giving you some sort of benefit, then you've taken the suhbah of people without getting any of the benefit. It's like somebody handed you like the grapevine, but there's no grapes on it. Someone handed you a branch of the orange tree, there's no oranges on it. There's no fruit from what you're getting. You're just getting the stem of it. And then saying, oh look, you know, I spent so much time, so many years I've been meeting Sheikh so-and-so. You've been meeting him and shooting the breeze with him. So see what you benefit from it. Because people think everything is magic, right? That somehow you're going to, you meet Sheikh so-and-so, and then before you die, you know, like he's going to come to you in the form of an angel and like sprinkle fairy dust on you and you'll fly in the air or whatever. That's not the way it works. There are the sprinkle fairy dust and fly in the air people, whoever they are, they got it through making mujahadats for their whole life and from scrupulous adherence to the deen and from doing those things that would make a normal man cry for years on end. Then that type of kind of weird and fancy stuff happens. It doesn't happen just because you had coffee with someone twice. وَآفَةُ تَرْقِ الرُّخَسِ وَتَأْوِيلَاتِ الشَّفَقَةُ عَلَى النَّفْسِ. The calamity of leaving legal dispensations and strange interpretations in the deen is that you start to feel sorry for yourself. Oh, look, I went through all this and I went through all this difficulty and look at me, you know, I'm so tired and I'm this and I'm that and the other thing, that you shouldn't start feeling sorry for yourself. If you do that, then you're getting the wrong lesson out of having left dispensations and spurious interpretations. وَآفَةُ ضَبْطِ الْأَوْقَاتِ اتِّسَعُ النَّظَرِ فِي الْعِلْمِ لِعِلَّةٍ ذِي الْفَضَائِلِ لعلتي ذي الفضائل. And the calamity of being strict with your time. We'll come back to this point, inshallah. وَآفَةُ اتِّهَامِ النَّفْسِ وَآفَةُ اتِّهَامِ النَّفْسِ أُنْسُ بِحُسْنِ أَحْوَالِهَا بِحُسْنِ أَحْوَالِهَا وَاسْتِقَامَتِهَا. And the calamity with regards to blaming the nafs in every matter is that if you keep doing that, it will get better and better. And you might one day admire how wonderful the hal and your state is, and how much istiqamah you have. Even though Allah Ta'ala, قَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَإِن تَعْدَلْ كُلَّ عَدْلٍ لَا يُخَذُ مِنْهَا, that the nafs is such that even if you try your best to be just, still its justice is going to be wrong. And Allah, وَقَالَ الْكَرِيمُ إِبْنُ الْكَرِيمِ يُوسُفُ بْنُ يَعْقُوبَ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَامُهُ عَلَيْهِمَا وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. And the noble one, the son of the noble one, Sayyidina Yusuf bin Ya'qub alayhi salam, he said that I do not hold myself blameless. I don't hold my nafs blameless. Why? Because the nafs, the self and the ego is always commanding, ever commanding to evil, except for the one that my Lord has mercy on. It's really interesting that the problem with blaming the nafs is that if you blame it enough, you'll start to admire it, which is you just stop blaming it at some point. The idea is that when it's being bad, it's easy to blame it because you can see with your eyes what's bad about it. When it's being good, it's hard because you can't see that anymore. But once you can't see it anymore, then it will start doing evil things that it wasn't able to do from the beginning. The sins of like regular heedless people are not like the sins of good people who go wrong. So a person should always keep their nafs in check. And this is why our mashayikh used to do things like that. You know, it's not just one of them. So many of them, generation after generation, if somebody did something good or saw something good from themselves, then that you would find that person cleaning the bathroom in the middle of the night, and what's that about? What do they have, like lack of janitorial services in the old days or in Madaris or this? It's not about any of that. What is it? A person has to remind themselves that this is what our maqam is in the deen. And our maqam is in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anything Allah gave us higher than that, then it's from His fadl. And a person shouldn't be heedless of that. It's like the master asked a slave to sit at the table. There's a way that the slave should sit at the master's table. If the slave sits at the master's table, obviously he's going to eat food that's better than the food that he usually eats. But there's a way that he's supposed to sit there. How is he supposed to sit there? There's not enough salt in the food. This, I know you're going to get kicked off. So you get lost. Go eat corn with the hogs now. That's not your place. And so a person should constantly be aware of that lest they muck it up and something good Allah Ta'ala has going for them, they screw it up and then they lose that benefit. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala give all of us tawfiq. Wa sallallahu tabarak wa ta'ala wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.